Awesome. So good to see a bunch of our family here today. And if you're visiting with us today, I've met a few of you this morning. You're traveling by. We're so glad that you are here. And if you live here in town, we'd like to have you once again. Come visit us, please. We're going to talk today about the church, the everlasting church. This is a subject that I wanted to talk about last time I preached, but I forgot and I preached something else. But so somebody reminded me. Somebody said, you know, David, you said you were going to talk about the church. So I said, yes, I'm going to talk about the church today. So the everlasting church. And you have there Matthew 16:18. That was my original verse that I was going to use to start this lesson with. But then I went with another verse that I think depicts or shows the importance of what we do and why we are in the church. Yes. Now I remember. Thank you, Mark. So this is how it goes. In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 44, there's an interesting verse that we find there. Nebuchadnezzar just had a dream. And in his dream, he was really troubled. And he asked for magicians. He asked for anybody that could interpret his dream, and they just wouldn't. And then God revealed to Daniel what was going to happen. And in this dream, there is a vision about kingdoms. But then at the end of that dream, there is one kingdom. And this is what Daniel says. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms. But it will itself endure forever. Now that's interesting. He's talking about another kingdom. And these ones are not going to matter. The ones that are powerful, the ones that are strong, the ones with the cavalry, the ones that have lots of soldiers, that is not what's going to matter. He says this kingdom that is about to come, or that will come, is going to last forever. Now, there is something important for us here to understand, brothers and sisters. This kingdom that we're talking about, I believe, is extremely important that people know about it. We need to know about it. We need to know about that kingdom. We need to know how important it is. We're going to skip the scripture in Matthew for right now, and we're going to go to the next verse. The everlasting church, what does that mean for us? That it's going to last forever. What is the everlasting church for us? What does it mean for us to understand that? This is what it is. While Jesus walked on earth, he stated, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It's extremely important to understand that everything that Jesus said is true. I know we're Christians, but it's extremely important that as Christians, we understand that every single word that Jesus said is true. For that reason, this church right here that he says, I will build my church. As you see, the church wasn't built yet. Jesus was preaching about that church. That church was going to be established later on. In the book of Acts in chapter 2:47, the Bible says that the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. So from the time that Jesus preached to the time that Jesus died, and then when the apostles started preaching in Acts chapter 2, the church has been established. For me, when I evangelize and when I talk to people about the church, this is another verse that I use. I have to tell them, I have to let them know, look, the church is already established. We don't need to be establishing another church in order for us to get into heaven. The church is already established. What we need to do is try to find that church, the everlasting church, the church that will endure forever, the church that will never be destroyed. That's our job, is to find that church. And there could be many definitions of a church. And there could be many things that we look forward or that we look for in a church. But the main important thing is not what I like in the church, is what Jesus says about that church. And he says that the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That is an important verse. There is no power in the underworld. There is no power in this universe that can destroy that church. Nothing will destroy it. Do you believe that? I believe that. That there is no power that can destroy that church. For that reason, we're going to find out, are we in the right church? In Ephesians 4:4, we learn that there's one body. There's one spirit. There's one baptism. There is one Father. There's one. And because of that, that there is one, that excludes everything else. How many wives do I have? One. That excludes everything else. You see what I'm saying? When there is one church, it excludes everything else. When Jesus says there is one, it means that there is one. One church. And we have to find and we have to make sure that we have to be part of that church. Now, one more. In Colossians 1:18, we find out that Jesus is the head of that church. What does that mean? In hierarchy, it means that he is the one that is the head, the protector, the provider, the one that is, for that church, everything. He is everything to that church. That's what that means. That's the one, that, if you remember the lesson from last Sunday, he's the one that is willing to die for that church. He's the one that is willing to sacrifice everything for that church. And that is exactly what he did when he died on the cross. He gave his life in order for us to have that life. In order for us to know that there is life after death. And in order for us to know that we need to find that church. A lot of times, my parents, when they were in Mexico, well, they are still in Mexico, but before they became members of the Church of Christ, they were looking. My dad only had a third grade education, you know that. My mom didn't even go to school. But, you know, they were looking. They were looking. And the only thing that was able really for them to understand is when somebody explained them the scriptures to let them know, look, this is what Jesus says. This is what the Bible says. So what is your action towards it? What are you going to do about it? And believe it or not, they didn't want to go to the Church of Christ at first. I was talking to my dad yesterday, and I asked him about that. He says, well, we were skeptical because we didn't like the guy that came to preach. The guy that showed us the gospel. He wasn't the best person to show the gospel, you know? But then he says, once we read the scriptures, it really didn't matter about the person. It mattered what it said. And that's what the church is. See, the church is not about somebody preaching what we like to hear. The church is not about somebody saying what we want to hear. The church is about somebody that preaches what God says. The church is where Jesus is preached and where Jesus is the head of that church and where Jesus is proclaimed. That's what the church is. And that's why he is the head of that church. Now, what is the church? Really quick, let's go ahead and move on. I have a lot of verses today, so I'm going to be moving pretty quick. And I think this is the slide that I had to click like four times in order to get one. There it is. The church is the bride of Christ. I apologize. Every time those words look so small. In my computer, they look so big, but here they look so small. So I apologize for that. The church is the bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, 22 and 27, we find out that the church is his bride. Something interesting. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about the bride. Let's talk about the one that he's waiting for. The one that he went to prepare a place for. The bride. The one that he protects. Now, guys, let me relate to you for just a second. What do you think if somebody were to disrespect your wife? Would that make you angry? What if somebody were to touch your wife? Would that make you angry? Think about it for a second. What do you think about Jesus and his bride? What do you think is going to happen when somebody hurts his bride? What do you think is going to happen when somebody threatens his bride? What do you think is going to happen when somebody harms his bride? It's interesting. Read Revelations. You know what's going to happen. You know what is coming. Because he's not going to be left just like that. See, I used to get in a lot of fights when I was little. When I was 15, I was still little. But and that was one thing, one rule that you always learn. You don't mess with a guy that is bigger than you. You know that if he can really hurt you, you just don't want to mess with that person. That's a rule of survival. That is the rule of survival for the church. We are his body. We are Jesus' bride. Nobody needs to be messing with him. However, people take it for granted, and they do. But the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Colossians 1:18, the same verse where he is the head of the church is the body. You know what is interesting about that? What happened to Jesus' body? He died. He suffered, and he died. For that reason, we as the church, guess what is going to happen to us as well? We as part of his body, we are going to suffer. We are going to suffer punishment. But you know what? It's not going to be left just like that. We are going to die. Our body is going to decay and our body is going to die. That's a fact of life. That's part of life. But look at that. The church is the family of God as well. 1 Timothy 3:15. We're God's family. Brothers, sisters. I have the privilege to have an older brother who, I mean, we were just, in Mexico, we were just in a bad neighborhood. And that was the thing. He always came to defend me, even though sometimes it was my fault. He always came to defend me. So that's a privilege for me to know that I have a bigger brother that came for me. He came through for me in tough times. And, you know, we do the same thing for family. Family is everything. We protect them. We defend them. We are there for them. You know, God's family. I believe that us, the church, we are God's family. We should protect each other. We should be able to defend each other. We should be able to take our brothers and sisters and be with them and be there for them when they need us. Because Satan is a big bully. And Satan is going to try to hurt you, the church. And if we are God's family, we ought to be able to defend each other. We have to be able to stand there with each other, side by side, because we are God's family. We are what we have left. The rest of my family is in Mexico. I only have my brother here in the States. And it's extremely important to have that family connection. I can't imagine people that don't have any relatives anymore. It's hard to imagine. But you need that in the church. We need that family connection. We need that family activity. For that reason, all the spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. All of our spiritual blessings, everything that God has promised in heaven, is only under Christ Jesus. And that is eternal life. That's the only way that we can obtain eternal life. And that is through Jesus. Now, when we're talking about the everlasting church, if it's only through Jesus, look at Revelations. And this is the verse that I wanted to put in there because this is the one that ties everything to make the church an everlasting church. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." I highlighted there, "Do not be afraid." A lot of times in our men's prayer breakfast, we're always praying for our country. We're always praying for the things that are going on. But the one prayer that is constant just like that is the prayer for children and grandchildren. For the world, for the ones that are going to be left with much more of a mess than we are. We're always praying for them. But you know what? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of whatever may happen. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of whatever may come. You got to put your mind and you got to set your mind that whatever may come, we are not going to be afraid. Verse 18, "I'm the living one and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." This is the vision of Jesus. He is alive. He is now alive to live forever. That's what that verse means. And then look at the next verse. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. You know why Hades has no power over the church? Do you know why death has no power over the church? Because Jesus is saying in this verse that even if you die, I can get you out of there. Even when you die, I will get you out of there. Because I can, because I did. That's what it means for us, the everlasting church. That's what it means for us. To know that we are following the person who can get us out of whatever situation we might be in. Especially when we die. Have you thought about it? Have you thought about your death? I know I use it as a joke sometimes, but I tell people that the day that I die, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a box of Krispy Kreme donuts next to me. I just love them too much. But, I know I'm going to die one day. We're all going to die one day. But I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. Because I believe what he says. Hades has no power over the church. Death has no power over the church. You see, because he is the one that can get us out. And look at verse 19. Therefore, write. And I highlighted those words. Therefore, write. People are going to want to know this. People need to know this. You know why you write stuff? Because you want to remember it later. You want to remember what was said or what you thought about it in the second. And that's what Jesus is saying to John. John, write this down. People need to know about it. The things which you have seen and the things which have, 19, the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after these things. You know what he's telling him to write? This is how the story is going to end. This is how everything at the end of times, this is how it's going to end up. The world is going to end. The church never will. Because you know what we'll be doing in heaven? We'll be doing church. What? You're saying we're going to be sitting in the pews and we're just going to be listening to God speak and listening to the sermon? No, that's not what it means. You're going to be in the presence of God just like we are right now. We need to believe that God is here right now, in our midst, in our presence. And what that means is that when he is in the presence, he's bringing us comfort. He's giving us love. And also he's giving us grace. And on top of that, he's telling us, you are going to be fine when you are part of that church. You are going to be fine. You're going to be well. Because a lot of things are going to happen in this world. But you are going to be fine. And verse 20. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. You see? The church is not dead. You see, the church is never meant to die. When you are part of that church, you will never die. You will live forever in the everlasting life. Jesus is the husband, the father, the protector, the redeemer, the sustainer of that church. Jesus is the one that is there for the church. Think about that for a second, because me as a husband, I fail a lot. Me as a father, I fail a lot. As a friend, yeah, a lot of times. As a provider, oh yeah. As a redeemer, there's nothing I can do to buy my family back. As a sustainer, yeah, okay. But think about that. Jesus, he's all of that to the church and more. You have nothing to worry about. However, there is something that we are in charge of doing. Yeah, I'm almost done. Don't worry about it. What is the purpose of the everlasting church? And this is where this lesson becomes applicable to you and to me. Now that we know that we need to be looking for that church, We need to be part of that church, the everlasting church, the church where God and Jesus is the protector, the redeemer, the husband, the father. What is the purpose of the church? Go ahead and open your Bibles, if you don't mind, and go with me to this verse. In Ephesians chapter 3. Starting in verse 17. It's interesting that we're talking a lot about the church in the book of Ephesians. But look what Paul says. 3:7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, look at the next phrase. This grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ. You see, when Paul was redeemed, when Paul felt protected, when Paul knew that God was his father, he said, there's only one thing that I can do. God chose me to be in his church so that I can preach. So that I can preach the goodness. And verse 9, and to make plain to everyone the administrations of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Verse 10, his intent, this is a key verse, was that now, through the church, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. You see what we are here to do? When we are part of that true church, when we are part of the everlasting church, we are meant to preach. We are meant to let people know that Jesus is Lord and that he is alive and that he will come again. As part of that church, that's what we are here to do. As part of that church, that's what we have to keep on doing. We have to live our lives worthy of the gospel. We have to live our lives the way that God wants us to live. We have to live our lives in order for us to let people know that there is a God and that he's living in us. That's what the church is here to do. Look at verse 11. According to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. When did he accomplish it? When he died on the cross. And when the church was established. The church has been established. God accomplished it. The apostles in the first century, they were preaching the gospel. Brothers and sisters, as part of that church, of the everlasting church, we have a job to do. And that's why we are going to be fine. Because we are going to take upon our shoulders to let people know about Jesus. Do you know what can change a family? Jesus. Do you know what can change a person? Jesus. Do you know what can change a country? Jesus. You know, people always say we're just one generation away from apostasy. But you know what? We're also one generation away from getting back to the truth. That's just how it is. It works both ways on that coin. We just gotta be, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, we have to set an example for our kids. We have to be that example for our kids where they know that Jesus lives in our household, that Jesus is the head of our household. And because we follow Jesus, they're gonna watch that and follow us. It's just part of what they do. That's how kids are. Have you ever said, man, I just acting like my dad right now? Some of the ladies will say that, right? Man, I just said something that my mom usually said. That's what they do. That's what we do. If we show our kids a good example, you know, I'm not saying that's all they will need. They will need teaching. They will need discipline. They will need a lot of things. And sometimes we can try and we can do our best, and sometimes it just doesn't work. You know, it just doesn't work sometimes. But you know what we have to do? Let's just do it. You know, a lot of times we can focus on the end result of what if this doesn't work out? What if this doesn't happen? Well, you know what? It really doesn't matter anymore, because what matters is what I'm doing right now. If Jesus says you gotta preach, that's what we gotta do. We gotta preach. What if people don't get baptized? What if people don't get saved? Well, it doesn't matter, because what I'm doing what God is asking to do, which is preach. I'm sorry, I'm getting loud. But that's part of what the church does. We have to be part of that church that shows the kingdom of God on earth. And I'm going to finish with this. The church is here to bring heaven to earth. These right here, not the walls, but these church, the people, we are meant to show what heaven will be like. And we're going to show it here on earth. If our life here in the church is great, let me tell you, people will want to go to heaven. If our life here in the church is awesome, people will not be able to wait to get to heaven. Because that's what the church is. We are meant to bring heaven here on earth, and one day we're meant to go back. The church is not here to make a presence, so to speak. I meant to say not only to make a presence. It's here to make an impact. That's what the church does. We're not here to be to say present. We're here to present ourselves before God and be ready to answer his calling. We are here to present ourselves and tell ourselves that we are going to make an impact as soon as we walk out of this building. That the church is alive and well in the city of Birmingham. That the church is alive and well in this country. Do you know how many countries the Church of Christ is in right now? I mean, countries I cannot even pronounce. We are making a presence there, but also we are making an impact. And I believe that the church, that no matter what happens in any country, in any area, no matter what happens, the church will never die. The church will never cease to exist. Satan tried to destroy it. If you read chapter 12 in Revelation, that's his whole scheme. Let's kill the church. Let's kill the child. You can't beat the dad, go after the children. But then it says that the children were protected. God is protecting his church. God is taking care of his church. So my invitation for you today, my invitation for you this morning, can't believe we ran out of time, is for you to make sure that you're part of that church. Are you part of that church? That's what I want to invite you. I want to make sure that you get into heaven. That's why everything that we do on this life and this earth, that's the only thing that matters. Because if you sacrifice this little bit of time here on earth, whether it be 80, 90, or 100 years, it doesn't compare at all to eternity. To eternity. It does not compare. We are meant, God made us in his image. We are meant to live forever. Let's not get sidetracked or distracted by the things of the world. Let's aim for that. Let's be that church. And if you want to be part of that church, I want to invite you this morning.